Hello, folks. Welcome to Old Ass Movie Review. Today on the show, we are going to do Dr. Sin, the Scarecrow, Romney Marsh. It's an old Disney movie, 1963. I might be wrong
something
about the
like
year.
That.
Nope, 63. Starring Patrick McGoohan, George Cole, Tony Britton, Michael Hordern, which is an interesting character actor. He's the guy who played Squire Thomas Banks. He's a good character actor. Jeffrey Keane, Kay Walsh, and a whole bunch of other people that I'm not going to bother mentioning because there's a whole lot of people in this show. It's based on an old book written back in 1900s or like 1915, I want to say.
It's a neat story. It's a neat story. It takes place, I believe, 1775.
I think so.
In England. You could tell the colonies back here in North America are starting to rise up and sow sedition against the king. And now on this particular story, we're getting it from the residents of England and their resistance to the king. This is a neat tale.
And what's funny is I didn't know that Romney Marsh was a real place. I watched this movie and then I started looking around like, what is this based on anything? And there is a spot in England called Romney Marsh. I don't know if it still exists technically because of just over 300 years of waterways.
A lot of changes.
Yeah. But in that area, they did do a lot of smuggling.
Oh, wow.
And what it looked like in this show is different from the history guys that I had watched. They made it look like they were marching down there and we're going to kick in doors and, you know, take names. And most of the guys that were like in charge of that shit, they didn't want to screw with any of the locals because you had a really good chance of just disappearing into the marsh because the locals outnumbered you about 100-1. And it's not like they had big castles for the most part set up that they were just, you know, you know, fuck with the locals and then go hide in the castle. But evidently the tax mans were easily paid off. Let me put it that way. From most of what I've watched and been able to gather, and they didn't give them a lot of trouble until much later, like much, much later on in time where they actually could get more revenuers down there. Or it was, I guess, kind of a cross between more revenuers going down there and the liquor.
Yeah,
wasn't bootleggers. As hard to get anymore. It wasn't worth, you know, smuggling it in at that point. So it was like a few things kind of came together. But for the most part, in this time period, the revenuers really weren't going to go F with you. They had the occasional captain come down and try and stir up crap and then leave. And then you're leaving the 12 guys that are supposed to be policing everybody. They're by yourself. And it's like, I don't think I'm going to do that, Captain so-and-so. You know, I think I'm just going to sit here and take my payoffs and occasionally say I caught somebody and, you know.
This story to me, I found very entertaining because it's like Robin Hood crossed with Batman, a little bit of Spider-Man's sarcasm and humor. This is a superhero tale.
Yeah, this is Batman. This is
Batman complete with the Bat Cave under the mausoleum, which I didn't get to see in the hour and a half version. So please tell me in the longer version, there was an elaborate cave system and he had computer systems and everything down there.
No. Wasn't an anything Oracle. Like that, but there was there was in the one big barn there's underneath.
Yes, that I did see, which is cool.
They did have like this big section that was hidden from everybody that they could
underground
hide,
stable
light, hide people, and they did that for a while. Kind of an underground lair.
That was cool to have a hidden stash or an area where they could hide their horses and be in there. And wow,
nobody could see them.
Yeah,
you know, it was good. It was great. the costumes were fantastic. I mean, you got Patrick McGoohan, who was a hell of a good actor and very, we'll say he was a man's man, and he was of his own center. He knew who he was, and he didn't kowtow to anybody. There is, if you're an Iron Maiden fan, there's a scene or a song, and I forgot what song it was, but there's a line spoken by McGoohan in the song, and it's from The Prisoner. And I think it's, he's giving the soliloquy from The Prisoner, like of looks like a little speech, and it's in Iron Maiden song, and the Iron Maiden song. And
oh damn!
Now that I want to talk about it, I can't remember
right,
the name.
Right, because I remember watching and saying that, thinking there was a line somewhere, and there's like, why does that sound familiar? So interesting.
So it was Patrick McGoohan, and when the guys from Iron Maiden met him, they were like, "Hey, is it cool? We're putting this song together, and we want to just use one of your lines." And they didn't even get to finish their sentence. He's like, "Yeah, go ahead." And got up and walked away. Like that was the end of the discussion. He's like, "No, you can go. That's cool. Go ahead. I'm good." And they're like, "Well, don't you want to talk about like money and rights?" And he's like, "No, I trust you." So whatever they came up, he was fine with. Like he just didn't care. Like, and a lot of people told him not to do it. I guess like his lawyers are like, you can't do that. You don't have the rights to it. He's like, "Sue me." But evidently he did own the rights or something to The Prisoner and all that. So, which is a great series. Now to talk a little bit about McGoohan, he was also in the movie The Phantom.
Ah.
You remember that movie back in the late 80s? Probably the best superhero movie next to the original Batman with Michael Keaton. Just fantastic. But he's the dad. He's the guy. He's the ghost of the guy in that. So these are movies and shows with McGoohan that I really like. He's a good cat. This show was perfect for him. I think this was going to be a series, but for whatever reason, Disney didn't go all the way through with it.
Let's talk about that for a second.
All right.
Folks, this is a Disney movie. This is back when Dave and I were growing up. It was Sunday night, 6 p.m. Central. Or wherever you were at, came the movie of the week. And this took me back to that. And all I could think of is Disney, go back to low budget movies and knock these fuckers out. That's all you got to do.
They can't. They won't.
There were so many good movies in this time frame, 60s, 70s, that the whole family could sit around and watch, and you knew you were going to get a good, entertaining story. And chances are nobody's going to get too offended. There won't be much violence. Right. It was, and they would be a movie that would be entertaining and possibly have a good message, a moral, if you will, like Disney used to have. So this took me back to old school Disney. It's like, wow, this is awesome. I want more of this. I think I even texted you that they need to do more of this. Cause this is like cracking open a comic book or watching Batman. Yeah. This is a superhero movie. It's cool.
The fact that McGoohan could change his voice from his little voice that he spoke like this all the way to it's not talking like this. And he's, you know, all of a sudden he's the Scarecrow. And
it was like, almost comical. It was just
he would be able to recognize his voice.
No, it was perfect. You know? Nobody recognized his voice. Nobody knew he was the vicar. That was beautiful.
What really worked for me in this costume, we'll talk about the. I want to talk about the Scarecrow's costume for a second.
Yes,
he's dressed like a scarecrow. He's got the stick across.
Looks
the
like he's on a stake. Yeah,
which is kind of crooked. So all of a sudden, let's say you're the vicar, and you're 6 foot tall. And you walk with a certain distinction. Suddenly you have this scarecrow costume on, which
changes everything.
But you also have the stick that's coming out off your shoulders. So that's making you look, nobody knows how wide your shoulders are.
Mm-hmm.
And the
very
way
smart.
Everything flows. So he's got this capey thing on. So when he moves, everything's kind of flowing. There's no way in hell anybody would guess that was the vicar.
No.
Nobody. No way.
Yeah, there's out of this movie, there's just a small handful that knows who he is. And that's what's wild. And the way he moves through his own people is brilliant. This is, dude, I wanted to see a series of this. I want more Scarecrow because it was really freaking cool. It made me a kid again.
You said you watched the shorter version. I watched longer version by accident, which is basically just all three episodes in a row. I did watch one movie version of this that did a better edit job than the one that I just watched, which was the American being found, being given off to some lady to help hide.
Right.
And then the brother coming in of the squire.
Right.
Or the son, I'm sorry, the son of the squire.
Comes
back, escapes. And they worked that in better. That was a better edit than what I had watched. And I think it was the original Disney edit that I watched. I think what I watched this last time was just the three separate episodes put together.
Because in the hour and a half version, that whole series of scenes you described made perfect sense and went pretty well. There wasn't a lot on the American. I thought, well, wow, they're not going to spend any time with it other than I think he was just introduced more to set the tone of what was going on and let you know as the viewer, if you know your history, what was going on.
Right.
So that
worked really, really well.
What I wanted to say about this, I just can't believe it's not out there to be purchased.
They did like the big tin special one time back in the late 90s, early 2000s, and they were charging a lot of money for it.
Disney had it used to do that. They'd go with a vault. Okay, I get that. Yeah.
But for me, this is a movie that should, this is my problem with Disney Plus, the people that are running
this Disney should be right on now, there.
They're shitting on Walt Disney and everything that he tried to accomplish because reasons, you know, he was a white straight guy, I guess. I'm not sure why. They put everything in the vault. They don't put any of the good shit on Disney. That's why I had initially gotten Disney Plus. I was like, fuck, they say they're going to put everything out there. I went there. They didn't have this. They didn't. The two things that I really wanted to see was this in its actual form. And I wanted to see Song of the South. Guess what? They don't have either. I have both still. I've got these in my possession, but Disney didn't put them out there.
And thanks to you, I do too.
Europe. They have Song of the South in Europe. You can get it imported, but it's an import. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me, Disney?
I don't understand the need for that. And you know, we'll have a Song of the South discussion when we review Song of the South, which I would love to do this year.
We can definitely do that.
It's been so long since I've seen it. I saw it when Disney wasn't afraid to put it on TV.
So did I.
I mean I
know what you mean.
Yeah,
but back when it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, so it'll be a great discussion when we talk about that one.
Career on purpose.
Yeah,
the guy who played Uncle Remus, they tried to destroy that guy's career for whatever reason. Back when they were doing the black exploitation. Well, this is a different discussion.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we'll get into it. Back to Romney Marsh Scarecrow. Yeah.
Back to Romney
Marsh. I knew that would get you going. But no, we can't avoid it. We're dealing with Disney and making weird choices, and not having this on Disney Plus is frustrating. Disney Plus because it just worked well with my Hulu package and everything else. Right. So it's like, all right, so let me have all that. But when I go there and look for something that I want to watch, it's like, well, where's that at? What the hell? Why wouldn't you have that on there? Go figure. But it's
doesn't make any sense not to have Romney Marsh on Disney Plus.
No,
they never had it. But not have it is like, you guys got not? 50 million. They don't have Daniel Boone on there last time I checked.
I don't understand. I mean,
you still have it. Maybe they do now, but they didn't have Daniel Boone on there.
I'll have to look.
I was like, are you kidding me? You don't have any of your shows? You don't have any of your movies?
That doesn't make sense to me.
On there?
I know, right? There is a lot, but it's a lot of the newer stuff. And the classics are there. I watched Robin Hood not too long ago, and I'm going to start going back through the old ones. Yeah, you know, the animated Robin Hood, which was one of my favorite versions of
I'm surprised. Of it, so. I'm actually surprised that they had that still on there.
Yeah, it's on there. Absolutely. In its entirety. So this movie, this is, folks, you're going to have to go to YouTube or eBay, or somebody's going to have, I'm sure somebody's made a bootleg of it. If you need it on disc, I'm sure it's available out there.
You're going to have to get it on bootleg or like you said, YouTube.
Yeah.
And YouTube's got a couple of good different versions, and they got good versions and bad versions. You just got to kind of look
at them. The version I watched was good. It was like an hour and 37 minutes. The quality was excellent. So it wasn't bad at all. So this, as you've heard Dave and I talk, is kind of a superhero, Robin Hood type. The vicar doubles as a vigilante, making sure the people in the town can afford the king's taxes. He does this by stealing the king's goods.
By stealing the liquor and then selling it.
He is one smart vicar.
And they can't get him. It's funny because
he's right in their face with it. It's
really is the least likely character. Honestly, if I were walking in that village, other than him being like way better looking than any vicar that should be.
I know, right? How'd that happen? You
know, it's like, wait a minute, you're 6'6", you know, got the body of an athlete, and you got blonde hair, blue eyes. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're the scarecrow.
He had presence, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, even as the vicar, he still has presence, because some people are just like intimidated by him. The general wasn't intimidated by him.
But the general was an idiot.
He was smarter than him, and he's not.
Oh my God, what a doofus.
Yeah, you get the general in there, and in a battlefield situation, he's probably a really good general.
Yeah.
In a situation where he's got to play a cop and a detective, out of his league.
He got what they call the people skills.
Yeah, he didn't have none of those guys back then did. You know,
where are God, the he was a horror.
You'll listen to us, okay?
All torture. How's that doing for you? Yeah.
And the one captain, his attaché was just like, "Wait, you're going to torture these guys to that?"
It was good to
that
see.
Right there, you knew that guy was going to give him up.
And the vicar right knew it too.
That guy was not into it.
The vicar mentions, "I might have found an ally tonight." So and that was cool. That was cool.
Now, and your version, when they go into the prison, because they're trying to break some people out of the prison,
right.
Vicar come up with a plan. They knock out a couple of the guys that basically waylay people and make them take them into being sailors. I forgot what they're called.
Yeah, I forget what they called them.
But they take their clothes, they go into the prison, and as they're walking in, the captain's walking out, and he spots the vicar. And I'm like, most movies, they would play the character as really dumb. Like, "Oh, I didn't recognize this guy with the vicar. He had an eye patch and everything. I didn't hardly recognize him."
Mm-hmm.
But this time, this guy just stops cold and is looking right at the vicar, and the vicar's looking at him like, "Oh, shit, I've been made." Like, the vicar at this point doesn't know where this guy is going to go. This cat.
Yeah, he's hoping because he saw him start to make that change.
Yeah, and then he's like, "Well, I'll take these guys into the jail." You know.
Well, hold on. Not only is he the attaché to the general, he is also fallen in love with the squire's daughter. So it gets even more complicated with this poor soul.
This poor guy,
who the general keeps trying to send away because he messed something up.
He's just so damn funny. But it's good because as all the men are marching in, the squire's son is a sidekick to the scarecrow, who is also a sidekick to the vicar. He knows who the
vicar is. Isn't that cool? It's like the altar boy. Is it?
As he's walking in, the captain just stops him. He says, "You stay out here, gunpowder rat or cannon rat or whatever he calls him." And the kid's like, "Shit." You know, he thinks he's going to roll him over.
No, he did it because he's in love with the kid's sister.
So the kid's standing there like, "Ah, crap, what's going on?" So he's got to wait, though. They get to the door. They're getting ready to go in. And the vicar just outright asks him, "What are you going to help me or not?" And the guy's like, "Yeah, I'm going to help you. Come on." Basically, that's the conversation is much better written than that. But basically, the guy's like, "Yeah, come on. Let's go get these guys out, Vic." And I don't think that guy ever puts two and two together that the vicar is the scarecrow.
Right.
Because the Scarecrow shows up later on, like the really quick.
The Vicar is so smart that he tells everybody, as the Scarecrow, he starts talking about the Vicar, how he's going to make the Vicar do his thing. So people don't even, it was really smart. A lot of misdirection. The guy's a genius. Yeah. He can play people, which makes it even funnier because he's a priest. So it's like, wow.
Yeah, he's just playing everybody. But he has to, you know?
Yeah.
There's only like two or three people who know who he is.
Yeah. Yeah, the very sexton, few.
The sexton, who is George Cole, which is who I asked you earlier before he came.
Yeah, so tell us about George Cole. I do recognize him, but I don't know from where.
You know who he is.
I didn't look because I don't know.
It's a Christmas movie.
So he had to be in one of the Scrooge versions.
He was the young Scrooge in the Alistair Sim movie.
No kidding. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
He's the one who comes in and starts talking to McGee.
Okay. I'll be damned.
Damn. The first time that I recognized him, I hadn't seen this movie in shit since I was a little kid. I saw this movie. He walks in with the Vicar, and I'm like, holy crap, that's Scrooge. You can't trust him. I'm half expecting the guy to like double cross the Vicar, you know? But yeah, that's who that guy is. He's the young Scrooge. I thought that's pretty cool. And that guy did a lot of stuff. I spot him every once in a while in older British movies. Like around this time period. So he had a pretty good career, I think. Michael Hordern, who played the Squire, big, big character actor.
That guy looks so familiar.
Dude, you will see him in a ton of stuff. If we keep watching these old movies, especially British movies and Disney stuff, he was in a lot of Disney stuff at this point too. But McGoohan, as far as I know, this is the only stuff McGoohan did with Disney.
Really?
Why, I don't know. Maybe he just didn't like the way the business model was set up or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, I can't say enough good stuff about this movie. And it's funny because when I started thinking about this movie a few years ago, I didn't remember the name of it. I was like, it was a Scarecrow. I remember the scare. Mm-hmm. I remember the opening scene from the Disney Sunday show. And they'd always show the one scene of him riding the horse close up. And that was it. That's the last time you'd see him. And you're like, what is the name of that show? I know. Yeah. I know it. And I don't know how the heck I got onto it, but I figured out what the name of the show was.
I'm glad you did.
I started looking up. Okay. Now who was in it? My mind could have exploded when I realized it was Patrick McGoohan playing the character. I was like, holy crap, he was a huge name back then. That was a big win for Walt Disney. Mm. Why they didn't make the series, I don't know. They had three episodes and that was it. And Walt Disney, in the show that I was watching, now folks, when I was a kid, color was pretty new. This was made before I was born. Color was really new. Like, not everybody had color TV.
No, that was it. Things were being made in color, folks, but I still knew people in the 80s with black and white TVs.
Yeah.
So
I had a black and white TV until late 80s.
Yeah. And I had a black and white TV forever.
Those small ones set off to the side. But it's funny because the show that I watched were the episodes. So you had the opening scene with Tinkerbell flying around.
Oh, okay. The whole Disney intro. Yeah.
Ding, 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 and all the different color splotches coming up. And then the flowers would come up and they're like, oh, the wonderful world of color. And I'm like watching that going, oh my God.
Wow.
Could you imagine back in the day watching that for the first time?
Oh, it'd have been amazing.
I can remember the NBC Peacock coming on with its feather. It would walk out. And it spread its little feathers, you know, its peacock feathers, and all the colors would come up. And I just remember the first time seeing that in color as a kid, just blowing my mind.
Yeah.
I was like, holy, it was a Zenith TV. We had a Zenith. It was first color TV, whole family watching and just Wow.
Yeah. Color. Yeah. It was something.
I know
it
was something. Silly, folks, but when
no, it's not, because when you see the transition, it's cool. It's cool. But so yeah,
this movie looked really good. I love the special effects were good. When they hang that guy, that was good.
Oh, that was, I wasn't sure. It's like, oh my God, did we just go dark? It's like, no. Oh, but you know, here's the thing. Disney movie, a lot of stuff does happen off screen again. Right. Even this fake hanging is off screen enough to where you know what's happening, but they don't show anything. It's cool.
Even as a kid. And then I think makes it worse, because the first time I watched it, I was like, holy crap, they just killed that guy.
I know. That's what I thought, too. But you wouldn't have thought that had you seen the whole thing. You would have figured out that it was a gag. Because who the hell gets hung while sitting in a chair and the chair? I guess you could. But yeah, she was tied to the chair. Weight. Extra
that
weight.
That extra weight. That...
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't put up much of a fight when they were hoisting him. But no, anyway. Oh, that's right.
Did they knock him out? Or did he pass out or something?
I think he passed out. Wish he wasn't passed out. Yeah.
I would pass out. I'm going to die.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I don't want to be awake for this.
Good movie. I'm glad you turned me on to it. Folks, I think you will enjoy this if you like the old Disney movies and like a good. This is a superhero movie. That's what it is. It's a hero, bad guys, good guys.
If you like Batman, if you like the Batman,
you'll like this movie.
Movies, and if this isn't campy, this isn't as campy.
No,
it's G-rated, but it's not campy, mm-mm. Which is what makes this movie work really well. It's G-rated,
but it's surprisingly dark. Violence, yeah,
but it all works, and it was so good.
Yes.
Yeah. I highly recommend this movie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So there you go, folks. Dave and I give the old Disney movie a thumbs up. Check old it Disney. Out. Dr. Sin, alias the Scarecrow of Romney Marsh. Thank God I didn't say Randy Marsh. I always want to make it a South Park movie. I don't know why. All right, Kenny. So, folks, if you like our show, hit the like, hit the share, hit the subscribe, and we will catch you next week with something else old or some old asses talking about movies. I'm not sure. So, until next week, later. Ciao.